To Children's Church.
Thank you very much, Brother Shane and praise team. Good morning to you. It is good to see you here. I pray that your morning has been good and fruitful and enjoyable already. Let me invite you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, where we're going to continue looking at Paul's teaching about the flesh and the spirit. And then if you'd like to go ahead and mark, once you find Galatians 5, we're starting in Galatians 5, but we're also going to spend some time in Matthew chapter 16 a little bit later in the sermon. So if you'd like to stick your bulletin or something to mark Matthew 16, that might be helpful for you as well. Let me start out with a question for you this morning. Can any of you think of something, a habit, a practice, something that you did for a good while in your life, but then at some point in time, somebody came along and they showed you a new way to do it, a new and better and maybe easier and simpler way to do the same thing that you had already been doing for a long time? Has that ever happened for any of y'all before? Imagine if you had enough time to think about it, you probably could think of something. I feel like a lot of these nowadays are, well, I did this way, and then somebody showed me there's an app for that, and the app was much easier. One for me that kind of stood out as I was thinking about this example this week was cutting vegetables. And you say, well, how that's just surprising, right? But so whenever I'm going to grill squash and zucchini, onions and things of that nature, I like to have them about the same thickness, right? So that they cook at the same rate, they're done about the same time. And so I'd for years, you know, just go cutting board and knife until somebody recommended that I might use a mandolin, not the kind you play, the kind you slice with, right? And so all of a sudden it's zoof, 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 and they're uniform and thickness, and it's done now. Some of you already know that I cut off like a quarter of my thumb one time because I didn't use the guard. There's a good recommendation for you as well to use the guard if you use one of those things. But there are others. You know, sometimes that happens for us. Sometimes we have something that we do. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at home. But something that we do regularly and often, and somebody comes along and shows us a new and better and maybe easier and simpler way to do that same task, and we should probably immediately make the change, right? We see it, we recognize this is good, this is better, this is going to simplify my life. But you know, for some of us, there's sometimes still a reluctance to actually make that change, isn't there? Right? Even though this way may be better and simpler and easier, sometimes what do we say? I just like the way I've always done it, right? I mean, sometimes we just stick with that. Well, unfortunately, I feel like it's the same often in our spiritual walk, right? We've been talking for the last several weeks about how Christ has come and through the gospel has offered us a new way to walk in life, to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, to put away the sinful desires of this world and to take on love and joy and peace and patience and all the fruit of the Spirit, to live a life that's more meaningful and has more purpose. And he's offered that to us. But some of us, I think, sometimes still find ourselves gravitating toward our old way of life, the old habits that we've had, the things that we've done for many years much more often than we should. Honestly, there's really one point in the sermon today. There's three because I know how y'all are, but there's really just one. And let me tell you the three things that we're going to talk about, and I think you'll see the pattern. Here are the three things we'll see. As Christians, we should choose to deny the flesh. We're going to see that today. It's a choice we should make. Nobody should have to convince us to deny our flesh, but sometimes we have to be, but we should choose to. And then after we see that we should choose to deny the flesh, we're going to see that as Christians, We will deny the flesh. If you are a Christian, you will, or you already have, made the decision to deny the flesh. And then we'll end with this. To follow Jesus, you must deny the flesh. So there's this we should choose to, there's this we will, and there's this we must. But at the end of the day, this is what we're talking about, brothers and sisters. As people that follow Christ, we will not follow the flesh. Because you can't follow both of those. And we'll see it today. Let me start. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 16 because that's where we're starting, with a touch of a recap from the last few weeks. And then I'm going to drop down to verse 24 and I'll read our new text for this week. But Galatians 5:16, Paul said, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And then down in verse 24. "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." If y'all would join me, let's pray before we consider this together. Father God, I know that I am in a room full of very busy people. Father, we are a busy people that have many things to do. Lord, we are a multitasking people. But Father, I do pray. I pray that right now that you allow all of us to set aside all of the things that are trying to distract us, all of the things that are tugging for our mind's attention. Father, that we would silence our phones, and that you would silence our outside thoughts, and that for just a few minutes out of our week, that we would sit together as a church body and we would consider your word, one text of your word together. And that, Father, as we do this, as we're reminded of the new and better way of life that you've offered to us, that our hearts would desire it. They would desire to walk in the plans and the path that you have for us. And Father, that as you turn our heart towards that, as you give us more of that desire, that our minds would follow and our actions would follow, and we would leave here being people that are following you more closely than we were when we came in. So Lord, use your word to stir our hearts and to turn our actions towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as we see here in verse 16, again, I'm just kind of recapping briefly this idea that we should choose to deny the flesh, right? In verse 16, there's an implied, I think Paul has an implied assumption here. Right? He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." I think that Paul was assuming the reason he's telling us what we need to do in order to not follow the flesh is because he was assuming that we don't want to follow the flesh, right? That as we look at the list of things and verses 19 through 23, as we look at the works of the flesh that we saw last week, as we look at the fruit of the Spirit that we saw last week, that we'll kind of weigh those things and that it would be a no-brainer, right? That nobody's going to say, "Well, I can have enmity and I can have strife and I can have rivalry and I can have dissensions and I can have drunkenness and I can have all of these things, or I can have peace and I can have patience and I have goodness and I can have self-control," and that they would choose the work of the flesh, the works of the flesh. You know, that seems to be the assumption, that we would all desire to follow Christ, that we would desire to follow the plans that God has for us, that we would desire to be free from the worldly, ungodly, unchristlike, unholy, evil, sinful desires of our flesh, old way of life, and that we would desire to walk in the freedom and the favor of God found through faith in Jesus Christ, that we would want to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit rather than staying in the sin and shame of the flesh. I think this should be something that we can all agree on, is that we want to be free from the flesh and the world and its desires, and we want to walk in the path of Christ. And so I'm not going to belabor point one, but point one is that as Christians, we should choose to deny the flesh. We should choose that on our own. It's kind of like the opening question that I had for you, right? There's the old way that we've been living before we came to faith in Christ, and it was full of sin, and it was full of strife and heartache, and we just couldn't get out of our own way, and we hurt people around us, and we hurt ourselves. And so there's that, and then we hear the gospel, and we hear, no, you don't have to live like that anymore. You don't have to continue in those sinful habits. You don't have to be the person you used to be. You don't have to live with the guilt that you live with. You can find freedom and forgiveness and the favor of God, and it's offered to you freely through faith in Jesus Christ. And it shouldn't take somebody trying to command or convince us that we have to deny the flesh and follow Christ. We should choose that, brothers and sisters. We should desire that greatly. It should be a huge thing in our life that we want to follow Christ, which means that we don't want to follow the ways of the world. And so I feel like, as we've seen verses 16 down through 23, that we've seen this idea, right? Here's how you can walk by the Spirit rather than following the ways of the flesh. Paul, let me give them to you in list form. This is what it looks like if you're following the flesh, and this is what it looks like if you're following the Spirit. And I feel like this whole time we should have said, yeah, I want that one. But then we come to today's text. We come to verse 24, and the assumption is removed. There's no assuming that we're going to choose following God over following the flesh. No, it's just made absolutely clear in verse 24, and then some ways that that works out in verse 25 and 26. Look with me in verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And we're going to talk about 25 and 26 more this Wednesday, but I really want us to focus for a few minutes there on that verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, right? This is talking about Christians. You have faith in Jesus Christ. You call Him Lord. You call Him King. You say you are following Him. Then this statement is true of you, because those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Right? It's not something that is a maybe. It's not a if. It is a certainty. You cannot follow Christ and follow the flesh. Your desire in life cannot be that I desire above everything else to follow you, Lord Jesus, but I also desire to do all of the sinful things and to pursue all of the sinful things that I've always pursued even before I knew you, Lord. It cannot be that Jesus is Lord and the things of this world are also Lord. It cannot be that. There's a dichotomy here that it is one or the other. If you belong to Christ, then you have crucified the flesh. You will continue to choose to deny the flesh. Or you can choose to follow the flesh, but if you do, you're not following Jesus. Now, this is not a teaching that's only seen here in verse 24. I quickly just read for you three other verses. Matthew 6, 24, that Brother Adam already read for us today. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, right? He's applying the teaching there to God and money, but the first part stands. You can't have two masters. You can't. Can't be completely sold out to two separate things. It doesn't work that way. James 4:4 says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And he's not talking about being friendly to people around you. He's talking about following and loving and being friendly with the flesh and the worldly desires. You can't have that and friendship with God. These two are opposed to one another. The last one, Deuteronomy 5:7. You've heard this one in the Ten Commandments. "You shall have no other gods before me." Some translations say, "You shall have no other gods besides me." Some say, "You shall have no other gods but me." But the teaching is clear. If God is number one, then only God is number one. God's word is clear. Those who belong to God do not belong to this world. And those who belong to this world do not belong to God. We must choose one or the other. There's no middle ground. There is no fence sitting. You're following Christ or you're following the world. Point two, as Christians, we will deny the flesh. Or as Paul says here, we already have. I'm giving it as an ongoing thing. We have crucified the flesh. We will continue to say no to the flesh and to the world and to the passions and desires of this world. Now, it is significant to me that not only are we supposed to crucify the flesh and to walk by the Spirit, as we've seen, but we also are supposed to crucify the passions and desires of the flesh, right? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So sometimes I think we think what this means is I'm just not going to sin. I'm going to do my best not to sin. And that's included here. But when you start talking about crucifying the flesh's passions and desires, what we're also talking about is the things that you're pursuing in life change when you come to follow Christ. Now, those things are different for all of us. Some of us, the sinful passions and desires that before you came to Christ were driving you and that sometimes still beckon and call for you are like lustfully sinful things. There are things of the flesh and lust that call you to follow them and to continue in them. This says that needs to be crucified. You need to be done with that. For some people, the driving force behind their life is the pursuit of popularity, of fame, right? My goal is to have the most followers or whatever it is on whatever social media platform there is, to be an influencer, for everybody to know my name, to be at the biggest place so that everybody knows who Zach Kilpatrick is. That's what drives you. That is your passionate pursuit in life. Is above everything else. You want to be famous. That's a worldly desire. And this says that needs to be crucified. Now, it's okay to be popular. I'm not saying that popularity or fame in itself is a bad thing. But having that as the passion of your life, the driving force behind what gets you up every day, that's called an idol. And you can't follow that and at the same time be following God. You can't. For some, it's this desire to see other people fail. Because whenever friends or other people's kids don't do well, it makes me feel better about myself. That's envy and rivalry and brothers and sisters. That's of the flesh. That's not of God. That's not okay. If that's something that you deal with, you love it when somebody else that you know personally fails and doesn't do well. When somebody you graduated from high school with fails at something, makes you feel better about yourself, that's not good. That's not of the Spirit. Maybe for some of you, it's that just above everything else, you're passionate about being rich. You just want all the money or things or land or whatever it is that you can possibly have. Again, Money in itself is not a bad thing, but the pursuit and the love of money above everything else that causes you to not be generous, causes you to not care for people around you because you just want to be stingy and have it all to yourself, brothers and sisters. These are just four examples of passions and desires of the flesh. We could go on and on, but I'm not going to. But I say this, if you have those need to be crucified as well. It's not just smoking and drinking and lying that we need to get rid of. It's pursuing worldly things above pursuing the things of God. Our main pursuits and passions and desires should be things like being generous and being kind and being forgiving and sharing the gospel with everybody around us, to make God known and famous everywhere, that all the nations of the world would know Him and all the nations of the world would sing His praises, right? These are the passions and desires that we should have. To care for the people around us, to show true love even to enemies and people that do not love us. These are the things that we should take on, the things of the Spirit, the things exemplified in the life of Christ while He lived here on earth. This is what the life of a Christian should look like. All right, the last thing I want to show you, because I like to give illustrations. I don't really like to give illustrations. I give illustrations because I think they're useful. Let me say that. But I like to try and teach in a useful way. So I like to give a real life story or an interaction or an experience that helps us kind of take the teachings of Scripture and maybe make them more easy to digest. Well, today we have the opportunity in Matthew 16, if you want to go ahead and turn there, to see this illustrated, to see this teaching that if you're following the flesh, you're not going to follow Christ. We get to see it illustrated, not with some story from my life, but with a story directly from Scripture, an interaction between two men that we know, Peter and Jesus. So look with me in Matthew 16. I'm going to begin reading in verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, "Far be it from me, from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So here we have two men that we know well. We have Peter, who is often known as the leader of the disciples or apostles. And then we have Jesus, who is God in human flesh. And Jesus lays out God's will and plan. He is telling His disciples the gospel, right? That He is going to go to Jerusalem and that He is going to suffer terrible things and that He is going to die this atoning death in our place, and then He is going to be resurrected. And so He's explaining this to them, and it seems like something that now we celebrate, right? We are thankful for Christ's sacrifice and His resurrection. We are thankful for the work that He did on the cross. But Peter here, when he hears God's clear will and plan, doesn't think about it in a spiritual way, doesn't think about it in the way that Jesus is. No, at the end of verse 23, Jesus tells us how Peter's thinking about it. He says that his mind is set on the things of man. We could translate that the flesh. I think that would be fair, right? You are thinking in the flesh, Peter. And so when Peter is thinking in the flesh, he could not accept God's plan. Jesus says, "This is the plan of God. I am God, and I'm telling you my plan." And what does Peter do? He rebukes Jesus. He decides to tell Jesus why God's plan is wrong. Now, that seems like a great idea, doesn't it? Let me tell you why that plan's not going to work. But let me ask you this. Have you never done the same thing? Because I have. I've seen God's plan before. And said, yeah, but let me show you an idea that might be better, God. Why can't we do it this way instead of that way? What if we did the whole thing without suffering? What about that? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. That might be better. What if everything always went well for me and my kids and my family? What if I did get that job? God, here's the plan that should be your plan. And it sounds stupid is what it sounds like. But it's what Peter does right here. And brothers and sisters, this is what I pray you're seeing. When we are following the flesh, this is what we do. Peter's not really Satan. Right? Let's just be clear about that. He's not Satan. But when Peter was following the flesh, he was following the course of Satan, which is always opposed to the way of God. That's what happens. If you follow the flesh, you are walking the path that Satan himself would walk, and you are always going to find yourself opposed to the will and the plan and the ideas of God. You cannot follow both. You have to choose, because the way of God is always opposed to the way of this world. Always. That's how it works. Jesus makes that as clear as possible in the next verse. Verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Right again. Yourself, my desires are of the flesh. So I have to deny the flesh. I have to deny myself if I'm going to follow Christ. Point three. To follow Jesus, we must deny the flesh. We must. There's no other option. The word that Jesus uses there in verse 24 for deny is such a rare word in Scripture. It's mainly used three times. It shows up here. Now, Mark has this account, Luke has it, but it shows up in this teaching of Jesus. If anybody's going to follow me, they need to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. The word deny is used there. It's found again at the Last Supper when Jesus says to them, or says to Peter, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And then it shows up in Matthew chapter 26. I just want to read to a few of those verses because it's such a startling thought here. It says, "Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, 'You also were with Jesus the Galilean.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you mean.' And he went out to the entrance, and when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied it with an oath, 'I do not know the man.'" And of course he denies him a third time. But brother and sister, as I read it this week, the rarity of this word and the occasions where it shows up. When Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to deny the flesh. We see that there. And then the other time that we see it is when Peter is following himself and denying Christ. And I had this thought. I was out running and thinking about this text the other day, and I had this thought. We either deny the flesh because we are followers of Jesus, or we will deny Jesus because we are followers of the flesh. I think those are the choices. You will either follow Jesus, and if you're following Jesus, you will deny the flesh. But if not, if you are following the flesh, you're going to deny Jesus. So, church, I want you to hear me here. Jesus has offered us a new way of life. It's not a perfect example, but I don't have a lot of those anyway, so I'll give you the one I've got. Kind of think of the gospel like an infomercial. I know. Not like the late night ones, like a good one. Like the, what's the kind of where the guy made a boat out of tape? Flex Seal. Thank you. Like those kind, right? You see it and you say, all right, that's good enough that I want to be in on that. I need some Flex Seal. I don't even have anything to Flex Seal, but I got to get some Flex Seal. right? I'm living my life this way, and Jesus comes along. And through whoever he uses, whomever in your life has shared the gospel with you, you hear this truth. You don't have to live the way that you've been living anymore. You come to me in faith, and I'll give you the strength to overcome all these things. And I'll teach you a new way. And I'll give you a new heart, and I'll give you a new mind. And you'll be born again, and you can live free from the guilt and sin of this world and in the glory of God. That you can find friendship with God and forgiveness from God and receive the favor of God now and forever. And you hear it and you say, well, it must be too expensive. There's no way I could afford it. And it's, no, it's free. The price has already been paid. Christ Jesus has already made this available to you. And you say, well, there has to be a catch. And there's no catch, brothers and sisters. This is yours. This is yours in Christ Jesus. To be free from the flesh and to follow the path of God that's so much better. And so the question today is, have you ever received that gift? Have you ever responded in faith to Jesus Christ, recognizing that he's better than you and he's better than anything this world has to offer? That his way is better than your way and it's better than any other way. And so you've pledged allegiance to him and you're following him with all your life. He's really Lord of your life. And I have this in my notes to share, but whenever I was a kid, I'll be honest, I always struggled at church when we would sing that song, I'd rather have Jesus. I kid you not, I would sing that line, I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. And I would think there was a hitch there. This is before I was a Christian. And I would think, would I? Rather than being worldwide famous, rather than being a king, rich and full of all kinds of things, would I rather follow Jesus' holy name? But brothers and sisters, let me tell you now, there's no hitch. There's no hesitation. Give me Christ over all those things. Have you ever come to that place in your life? If you haven't, let's start a conversation, because I think you just don't realize who Christ is. I think you would make that same decision. If you're here today and you are a Christian, but you recognize that you're still holding on to the flesh too much, or maybe it's still holding on to you too much, recognize that God's given you his spirit, and that spirit's inside of you, and that spirit gives you the power to overcome that flesh. Pray and ask God to help you with that. I'm going to invite our deacons to come down, and Brother Adam's going to come. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper this morning. And for those of us that are Christians, who are living in this new life, living in the joy and freedom of Christ, I want us to be reminded how it is that we've come to this place. How it is that we have this freedom. So I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. And we're going to, as the deacons are coming around with these plates, as they're handing out the bread and the juice, you're going to have some time to think and reflect and to respond. To think about the sacrifice of Jesus that's made this freedom available to us. To thank him. Maybe to ask him for his strength where you need it. Maybe you need to use this time. Maybe you just need to use this time to begin a conversation with God that you've never had before about what it means to follow him. I don't know what the Lord's calling you to do. This morning, as they come around and bring these elements by, use this time to reflect. And if you just want to sing, Brother Adam's going to lead us in a simple hymn that reminds us that when we're walking in the difficulty of this world, we need the Lord to take our hand. And maybe you just want to sing that, asking the Lord to help you. But you respond to the Lord however he would lead you as we have this time together.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. Let me stay. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Precious Lord.
Instructions this morning. I know that there may be some of you that are not followers of Christ who took these cups when they came by, but I do ask this morning, as is the command of Scripture, that if you're not a follower of Christ, if you're not a believer, that you would just continue to hold those, that you wouldn't partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. This is something that is only for those who belong to Christ. And for those of you that are, that may have taken, didn't realize, you have two cups in your hand, the bottom one has a piece of bread, and then the top one has the juice. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul gives us instructions for receiving the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" He then continues, verse 25, and says, "In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Thank you. And with that, you may be seated.
that may have some interest of you. Beginning with that, we will begin starting with our senior recognition. We will have our senior recognition on Sunday, May the 19th. And so seniors, be sure that you keep that in your mind, and also families. Church, I'd like to let you know that we will have 5 seniors graduating from high school this year. And those seniors will present themselves to the church on May the 19th. They will have a slideshow for them. So parents, I also ask that you be in contact with me so I can have those photos and get them uploaded to the computer so we can have that playing for our students. But these seniors will also have tables set up here inside our sanctuary where they can put on display some achievements and some awards that they may have received during their time through high school. And so I'd like for you to be aware of that. I will, for next Sunday, have a list of our seniors posted on our bulletin board in the foyer. So if you're wondering who those may be, if you would like to be in contact with them, those names will be there. And so you can find that there. We also, for our Mother's Day, the Sunday of Mother's Day, we will have the baby dedication. This is Sunday, May the 12th, and so we're asking that you please call the church office or let either myself, Brother Zach, or Miss Jen know if you have a child that you would like to be dedicated on that Sunday, so we can prepare accordingly, so we can have that prepared for you. We also have VBS. The VBS will be June the